divinely inspired to all the words of Scripture, but particularly we may stir from the faith we ought to have and the plans for us and have the same of the Lord. Another thing, of course, in chapter 8, in many ways, is the grace of God. Number one, to look at this text, Romans 8, 30, to read it again. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Point number one, what God did not do. What God did not do. And the answer is he did not spare his own son. Now, look at the word spare in the language of the home. He did not sacrifice his own son. The word is spare, not spare his own son. And consider, first of all, this relationship between God and his son. This particular relationship between God and Father and his son is, of course, unique. When you think about it, you would appreciate that.
Consider, that's what we need to do, not just consider what
fire, wood, some service for the company, and some water. They took this son of a gun, and found him in a hole, and shot him. He sacrificed him, but God stopped him. Having touched his head, he blessed him.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together in eternal counsel, and prayer.
repeatedly prophesied about betrayal by the enemies, made it clear that this was the plan. Now, the other betrayal of Christ again, when Christ is threatened in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he pleads with the Father. He knows the plan, he agrees with the plan, he's part of the plan, but in his human nature, this thing so gruesome, so hideous, not just to suffer and die, but to bear sins when he was sinless. The throne of flesh, rich and grave, three times, this might find fault. On the cross, the wrath of God came down upon Jesus for our sins, cried to him, why hast thou forsaken him? Jesus was forsaken for our sakes. God did not spare his own son, but he lived on the cross of all. Not a speaking trial, but listen, understand something. Christ was betrayed by his people. The medical plan that Christ himself had ordained. God for us, he saw, gave his own son, as a substitute. is this, you have your argument A, the argument is from the greater to the lesser, the greater to the lesser. If God gave his ultimate gift, his best gift, his most treasured possession, his son, what do you call the lesser gift? That's the point. Paul argues, look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who will be against us? He did not spare his own son, who gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And Paul commented in the sermon he gave to our presbytery these words. If you have a sense of what God has done, you will never doubt what he will do. Then we give qualifications what he will do for the best, for the good, and for the glory. The heaven, of course, is the ultimate. Finally, in this brief sermon tonight, preparation for the supper, let's look at the context of this passage. And just scan the verse of Romans chapter 8. Two chapters, Romans 8 and 1. We'll move very quickly, because there's so much here. A lot of time, but we're going to see the context leading up to this book. And so that's B in your outline, the context of your analysis. Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life is set you free. The Holy Spirit lives in our lives. Verse 9. Verse 99. You, however, are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit dwells within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. So the grace of God. Verse 14. For all of you are led by the Spirit of God, are children of God. For you did not receive the Spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption as sons, whereby we find Abba Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that our children of God. So the grace of God is adopted us. In verse 17, we are heirs of God's worship. Verse 18 of chapter 8, we are assured that our present suffering will fail in comparison to the glory that will be ours. Verse 28, we can endure all events because they're all ordained of God for us. Verse 29 and 30, we know that God has set his love upon us for eternity, and the end of his plan is our provocation. Then again, verse 31, we know that a minute ago, God is so for us. God is for you. And you can be discouraged. They don't want to be made. They do wonders. This person is to be companion. He's meant this much to save you. And doubt that he's on your side, that he's for you. And then, of course, verse 7, the end of all of this, 37, sorry, 37. Know that all these things, your glory and powers, to him that loved us. We close by reading his last two verses, this is the context of our text, for I am sure. Death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, or power, or height, or depth, or anything else of all creation, they will separate us, the love of God, is in Christ Jesus. Father, you take this task, all forms of the reality of heritage, but also the praise of your all men, and especially the Lord's way, morning and evening. Serve him without reverence, of course, but not the sort of fear we have in our lives. Because these verses tell us to put fear aside with us. Sacrifice, when we need to sacrifice, what we make. Declare his gospel to the world. This is really good news. This is the best news in the world. Congress table, gratitude and devotion. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, bless you for the promise of giving in your word, and pray that you may grasp it by faith and understanding that you did not spare your own Son for us, but you gave him up for us. And we say in this way, if you give us this faith, praise him.